This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله عدد خلقه ورضاء نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته الحمد لله كلما ذكره الذاكرون الحمد لله كلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله أجمعين اللهم ارض عن جميع الصحابة والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا معنا شقيا ولا مطرودا ولا محروما يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد إخوة الإيمان يقول الحق سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه العزيز ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it one of his proofs, one of his ayat, one of his signs that he created for ourselves, from ourselves, spouses. And Allah says, those spouses, the purpose of that creation, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً that you shall settle in, that you will have the tranquility within, that you will have that happiness with that togetherness with your own spouses. And Allah put al-mawadda. And mawadda is one of those words that is somewhat hard to translate. It is taken from one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-wadood. And mawadda is an adjective, it's a noun actually, from that source, from al-wadud. It encompasses love and compassion, caring and nurturing all at the same time. And then Allah says rahmah. And we know one of the greatest attributes that Allah had for himself is ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And Allah says, between you and your spouses, Allah put mawadda and rahmah. And Allah says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ Indeed, there are signs, there are proofs, there are ayat for those who want to ponder. And as a follow-up of the last khutbah, when our teacher Sheikh Yasser spoke about divorce, an end of a marriage that no one wants to get to. We want to speak today about what are the elements of a successful marriage. What would make a marriage flourish? What would make a marriage a successful marriage that with the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not end in divorce? It would be a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It would be a marriage that truly blessed with the mawadda and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because all the clues and all the elements of that successful marriage is not left for us to just play with. It is all right there in the Quran that Allah revealed to us. And it is in the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is all in the teachings of this perfect and complete religion of Islam. Because the marriage is what starts the cornerstone of the community, of the ummah, and that is the family. And without a strong marriage, there is no strong family. And without a strong family, there is no strong ummah. And for us to be خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ, for us to be the best ummah, and the ummah that will bring خَيْر to mankind, we have to have strong marriages. We have to have marriages that have مَوَدَّة and رَحْمَة, and have to have marriages that are signs and proofs and models for humanity. It is a sunnah of all the prophets, all the messengers of Allah, to be married. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلًا مِّن قَبْلِكَ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً. Allah says that we have sent prophets, messengers before you, and we gave them spouses and dhurriyyah. And when Allah wanted Adam, our father, to enter Jannah, قُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ ادْخُلْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah created Hawa for him, our mother, and he said, you and your spouse enter Jannah. Because even some of the best places, some of the best dwellings, some of the best abodes that Allah created without spouses, without a happy marriage, it's tasteless, it's empty. And for the house to be full with that mawadda and with the rahma and with the happiness, Allah gave us a marriage in Islam that is based on the Quran, based on the Sunnah. And that's when the Muslim family starts. There are no vows to be exchanged. When you see an Islamic marriage, you don't see a husband, a groom, and a bride standing there and they start exchanging promises to love and obey until death set us apart, etc., etc. And now these vows get changed depending on how politically correct the times are. Why don't we have vows that we exchange in Islam? Because the vows are there in the Quran and in the Sunnah. Because the conditions of that marriage are not up to the bride and the groom to construct. It is constructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is explained in the Sunnah of His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because when we get married, when the family starts, it starts based on the Quran and the Sunnah. And Allah called it mithaqan ghaliza. Allah called it a very heavy, very serious contract. Mithaq. It's a covenant. It's a very serious thing, that marriage. It's not something you play with. And the conditions of the marriage, the original conditions of the marriage, not just the mahr, the dowry, but the marriage structure is set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they're set by Allah for one purpose and one goal, for us to be happy. That mithaq al-ghaliz, that contract, is not set to put a burden on the family. It is set to lift a burden from the family. It is set to make the family happy, to make the fathers, the spouses, the husbands, the wives happy. Allah wants us to be happy in our homes, happy in our marriages, happy in our dunya, and happy in our akhirah. And Allah says the path to happiness lays right there in following the path of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why there are three essential goals, three essential objectives of every marriage in Islam. And the first one, jalbu sururi wa daf'u shar, is to bring happiness in and to repel evil. And the second one, at-ta'awunu 'ala al-birri wa at-taqwa, at-ta'awunu 'ala ta'ati Allah, is to cooperate on obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to have righteousness in the house. And the third is to raise the Islamic family, to have that Islamic family, the Islamic unit, as part of the ummah. Whether that marriage brings children or not, it still is a very important unit. It's still a very constructive unit in the community and in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for that, for every contract, for every relationship, for it to be successful, for it to be fruitful, for it to be clear, there are rights and obligations. There are rights and obligations, and for each party to that contract that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described as mithaqan ghaliza, as a very serious and a very important contract that we enter in our lives when we get married, we have to understand that there are rights and obligations that come with that marriage. And those rights and obligations are set in the Quran and the Sunnah. So there are rights for the wife, there are rights for the husband, and there are mutual rights for both the husband and the wife. And let me start with the wife's rights. The wife, and we start with the rights of women, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over and over and over again in his sunnah and his hadith emphasized their rights and emphasized why it is important for men who throughout history had always the stronger corner and the upper hand. We may be living in a time now where it's politically incorrect to say that. But if we look at history, if we look at the last 1400 years, whether we look at Europe, at Asia, at China, at India, at the Middle East, at the Far East, most societies, men and their families had the upper hand. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept reminding men that your wives have rights. And he mentioned that in some of the most important speeches and gatherings and addresses that he had for the Ummah of Islam, including Khutbatul Wada and his farewell address to this Ummah in Hujjatul Wada. And also on his deathbed, Salawatu Rabbi wa Salamu Alayhi. He made it so clear and so important that it was one of the last things that he told the men of this ummah. Istawsu bin nisa'i khayra. Istawsu bin nisa'i khayra. It is an agreed upon hadith narrated in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Istawsu bin nisa'i khayra. Have khayr. Khayr to your women. Have goodness to them. Take care of them. In another hadith, In Hajjat al-Wada', the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Astawsu bin nisa'i khayra, fa innama hunna awanun 'indakum." Take care of your women. Take care of your spouses, of your wives. They're like, awan is like prisoners, like asirat. They're just in your houses and you have control. Ala inna lakum ala nisaikum haqqa wa li nisaikum alaykum haqqa. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laid it out. He said, you have rights upon your women, and your women have rights upon you. Here's the key to the successful Islamic marriage. He said, حَقُّهُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ حَقُّكُمْ عَلَيْهِنْ أَلَّا يُطِئْنَ فُرُوشَكُمْ مَنْ تَكْرَهُونَ وَلَا يَأْذَنُ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ لِمَنْ تَكْرَهُونَ وَحَلَاوَ حَقُّهُنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ تُحْسِنُوا إِلَيْهِنْ فِي كُسْوَتِهِنَّ وَطَعَامِهِنْ. He said, your rights upon them, that no one shall enter your beds and no one shall enter your houses that you don't like. And their rights upon you, that you should treat them well and you should feed them well and you should dress them well. And in a hadith narrated in Muslim, a solid sahih hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the men of this ummah, la yafriku mu'minun mu'mina idha kariha minha khuluqan radiya minha akhar. O men of Islam, don't look for perfection in your spouses. Don't examine and critique every single aspect of your wives. You may hate, not like, dislike one aspect, but look at the positive side. Look at what you would like. And that goes into everything. The physical, the akhlaq, everything. You may not like one thing, but look at what else that you might like. Don't be too critical. Don't look for perfection. The perfect wife does not exist, because the perfect husband also does not exist. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a rule in how we deal with our wives. Allah subhanahu in the Quran said, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Deal with them with ma'roof, with good. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. The best of you is the best of you to his wives. And I am the best of you to my wives. And we know the khuluq of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his homes. We go to the sunnah, we go to the hadith, we see how he was the best of us, and he is the best of us, and he is the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We learn from him how he dealt with his wives. He never raised his voice or his hand. He never lifted a finger. Despite problems, don't think that the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was some romantic ideal house that was superhuman. It was a normal house where problems occurred. There were jealousy, there were issues there, to the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to the aid of his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah himself threatened The best wives, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our mothers, threaten them with talaq, with divorce, if they don't straighten up. And these are the best women in history. Our mothers. So don't think that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived a life where he walked into the house and there were no issues. The man who had the weight of the world on his shoulders, when he walked into his house, there were issues. There were problems. Yet his voice was never heard, being loud. And he never ever left his hand upon a woman. When he walked into the house, the first thing he did is he cleaned his mouth. بَدَأَ بِالسِّوَاكِ. Because he wanted to smell well so he can kiss his wife. And he was never ashamed of that. He was never ashamed of declaring his love to his spouses. He was asked, مَنْ أَحَبُّ النَّاسِ إِلَيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Who was the most beloved of people to you, O Prophet of Allah? And he said, Aisha. And then the man who was asking got embarrassed. He said, Min al-rijali, I mean of the men, Ya Rasulullah. I don't mean that. He said, Abuha, her father. Her father. He didn't say Abu Bakr. He said, her father. He used to play with them, joke with them. We know the story when he raced with Aisha, had a little bit of a jogging, running race with him. She beat him one time. And then later on, he beat her. And he said, هذه بتلك. Now I took this with that. He wasn't too serious, too harsh when he came into the house. And he used to consult with his wives. He didn't look at them. And he was the best of creation. He had the wahi coming from the sama, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was no one that could compare to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet he didn't feel that it would be too demeaning or too much if he would ask Umm Salama, what would she think? With the problem, when Al-Hudaybiyah came, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked into the tent and she was with him, and the Sahaba were very unhappy with how the negotiation went. And he said to the Sahaba sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قُومُوا فَانْحَرُوا وَحْلِقُوا. Go, just slaughter your headi and then shave your heads. And the narrator of the hadith said, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا قَامَ مِنْهُمْ رَجُلٌ وَاحِدٌ. Not one person stood up and did what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. He said it three times and none of the Sahaba got up. They were all very angry. And he walked upon Umm Salama. And then she said, Ya Rasulullah, don't say anything. Just go out, you slaughter your own headi, and then you shave your head. And they will follow. He took her advice. And he followed the advice of Umm Salama. He was too critical, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he walked into his house. Why is this too dirty? Why is this too not? Why did you not do this? Why is this food not good? How many times I have said you have to do this? No one listens to me. I've taken all the burden. I'm working all day long outside the house. And you forget what she does. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked into his house, Aisha said, مَا عَابَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ طَعَامًا قَطْ. He never criticized food ever. Not that everything was put in front of him was top-notch. إن اشتهى شيئا أكله وإلا تركه. And when he was at home, this is an al-Bukhari, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يكون في مهنة أهله يعني في خدمة أهله فإذا حضرت الصلاة خرج إلى الصلاة. When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was at home, he was always at the help, helping his household, helping his wife, helping the people of the house. He wasn't the king in the house. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came to the house, he would be exhausted. He would be tired. He would have problems that he would be solving much bigger than house chores. Yet he didn't think it would be too much for him to help out, stretch a hand, and show that loving, caring nature of the believer. And if we are to truly say we are the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we are the men, the husbands, who follow his sunnah, wasn't he man enough? Wallahi, he is more of a man than any of us. And he had no problem in helping his wives, in doing house chores. He used to fix his shoe. He used to prepare his own food. He used to help his family. When it's time for salah, he would go up to salah. One of the rights of women, and that is unique in Islam, that wives, no matter how rich they are, the expense has to be upon the husband. The husband has an obligation to spend upon the household, even if the wife has money. And in that there is ajr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, dinarun anfaqtahu fi sabilillah wa dinarun anfaqtahu fi raqabah wa dinarun tasaddaqta bihi ala miskin wa dinarun anfaqtahu ala ahlik a'zamuha ajran dinarun anfaqtahu ala ahlik. This is narrated on the authority of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, as narrated in Sahih Muslim, that the dinar that you spend fi sabilillah, or a dinar, gold coin, that you spend in freeing a slave, or a dinar that you give in charity upon a poor person, or a dinar that you give, that you spend for your own family, the one that has the greatest reward is the one that you spend for the needs of your family. For the needs of your family. Women have rights. You can't leave your family in need. Even Hind, the spouse of Abu Sufyan, when she came to give bay'ah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after Fath Mecca, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taking bay'ah from the women. وَلَا يَسْرِقْنَ, and they should not steal. And she said, Abu Sufyan rajulun bakhil. Abu Sufyan is miserly. And he doesn't spend on us. He leaves us in need. And I take money from his pocket. And the Prophet said, take your needs. That's your right. Take what you need. And another myth is some of the mahr, the dowries. Some people think when they put a muqaddam or a muakhar, that the muakhar is something the women get only when they get divorced, or if they get divorced. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَآتُ النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلَةً. The entire صدقات, the entire dowry, the entire mahr belongs to the woman. If you don't give her the entire thing up front, one of two things has to happen. She either forgive you clearly, without any pressure, or it is a debt in the neck, a debt for the husband. When someone dies, that debt has to be paid before the inheritance is divided. The third right of a woman upon her husband is to be shielded from hellfire. Husbands have an obligation upon their own families. Being a leader in the house, having the upper hand, comes with an obligation. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. O you who believe, shield yourselves and your families from the hellfire that is fueled by humans and by stones, by rocks. So the man has an obligation, and it is an obligation upon the man of the family. To teach his family al-akhlaq, al-makarim, the manners. To make sure salah is being established in the house. To make sure that the Islamic code of appearance is being established in the house. That making sure that Islam is the code of the house. To make sure ghaiba and namima and backbiting is not being practiced in the house, as long as he knows. Allah says, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Command your family with salah. It is the rights of the wives that have to be fulfilled in this marriage. But also, the husbands have rights. And they have a lot of rights that Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly in the Quran and the Sunnah. In the Quran, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. And they have obligations just like they have rights, Allah says upon the woman. وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. And the men have a daraja. And this is the controversial daraja, but there is really no controversy in it. Because that daraja is that obligation that Allah put upon the man, and the responsibility that Allah put upon the husband in leading the family. And that husband will be answering before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. And the scholar says it's the daraja. الرجال قوامون على النساء. That the men have qawama, custody, upon women with important things. One of them is what we just talked about. The obligation of the man to spend upon his family. And when you have an obligation and a responsibility, Allah gives you some authority to fulfill that obligation and responsibility. And Allah gave the obligation and the responsibility upon the man to lead his family into righteousness and to make sure that the mithaq, that the contract, that the covenant before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah put the man in custody of making sure it's fulfilled. And for that, Allah puts a right upon the wives to obey the husbands in that. And that's when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِخَيْرِ مَا يَكْنُزُ الْمَرْءِ. The best treasure for the man, الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةِ, the righteous woman. إِذَا نَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا سَرَّتْ. When he looks at her, she makes him happy. وَإِذَا أَمَرَهَا طَاعَتْ. When he asks her, when he commands her with something, she obeys. وَإِذَا غَابَ عَنْهَا حَفِظَتْ. And when he leaves her and he's not with her, she preserves him, she keeps him. She protects his honor, she protects his house, she protects his reputation. She protects what he likes, and she does not do what he does not like. حَفِظَتْهُ فِي نَفْسِهَا وَمَالِهِ. In the hadith narrated on Abi Huraira, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lays the reward for a woman like that. إِذَا صَلَّتِ الْمَرْأَةُ خَمْسَهَا وَصَامَتْ شَهْرَهَا وَحَصَنَتْ فَرْجَهَا وَأَطَاعَتْ زَوْجَهَا قِيلَ لَهَا ادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةَ مِنْ أَيِّ أَبْوَابِهَا شِئْتِ. When the woman prays her 5 times, and she fasts her month of Ramadan, and she preserves her chastity, and she obeys her husband, Allah tells her on the day of judgment, enter Jannah from whichever gate you like. So there are rights for the husbands. When they fulfill the obligations and the rights, they have the right to be obeyed in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the right of the husband as well is their houses and their honor and their religion, their deen is to be preserved in their houses. فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهِ. Allah says. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الْمَرْأَةُ رَاعِيَةٌ فِي بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا وَمَسْؤُولَةٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهَا. The woman is in custody, is in charge in the house of her husband, and she will be asked, she will be responsible. This religion is perfect, brothers and sisters. This religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this religion so we all are happy and we have happy houses and happy time together. And at the end, we reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we enter into His pleasure. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our houses a beacon of light, an example of happy marriages and happy families. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فيا فوز المستغفرين. Please come forward and make sure your cell phones are turned off. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. There are rights for the husbands, there are rights for the women, for the wives, and there are mutual rights for both of them. There are rights for both that have to be preserved. And that is, one of them is al-ma'roof, to be dealing with one of each other in the best manner, in the best way possible. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you should keep each other's privacy and each other's secrets. You have that privacy in your own homes. And you should not let it go beyond your own households. In Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ مِن شَرِّ النَّاسِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَنْزِلَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الرجل يفضي إلى امرأته وتفضي إليه ثم ينشر أحدهما سر صاحبه. One of the worst people before Allah on the day of judgment, that a husband خير. Isn't it our wives? Isn't it our spouses that we should bring الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر to? And if we don't have that with our spouses, how do you think that will be transmitted to our children? If we ignore Amr bima'roof and Nahi anil munkar within our own families, how are we going to bring it to humanity? How are we going to bring it to our community? The ulama said that the sign of a good marriage, that the husband practices in his house amrun bima'roofin wa nahin anil munkar, and the wife practices in her house amrun bima'roof wa nahin anil munkar. When we do that, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that we become coolness of the eye for one another. We become a source of joy for one another. We become a source of happiness. And it is the dua of the believers. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our households houses of happiness, houses of righteousness, houses of iman, houses of following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, houses that follow the house of the best of creation, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the husbands of this community some of the best husbands of Islam, and to make the wives of the community some of the best wives of Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to revive the sunnah in our community, to revive in our household. Allahumma laka alhamdu hatta tarda, wa laka alhamdu idha radid, wa sallallahumma ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal muslimin. Allahumma a'li ya maulana kalimata il-haqq wa ad-din. Allahumma man arada bil-Islam wal muslimin sharran fakhudhu akhza azizin muqtadir. Allahumma man arada bil-Islam wal muslimin khayran fa'inhu ala thalika ya rabbal alameen. Allahumma alayka bi-a'da'i ad-din fa'innahum la yu'jiz يزونك يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعل كيدهم في نحورهم واجعل دائرة السوء عليهم يا رب العالمين. اللهم احصهم عددا، اللهم فرقهم بددا، اللهم ربنا ولا تغادر منهم احدا. اللهم عليك بمن ظلم المسلمين، اللهم عليك بمن ظلم المستضعفين من المسلمين يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر اخواننا في كل مكان، اللهم انصر اخواننا المستضعفين في مصر، اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين، اللهم انصر واحمي المسجد الأقصى يا رب العالمين، اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في سوريا، اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان يا أرحم الراحمين، اللهم انصر المستضعفين والأرامل والمساكين يا رب العالمين، اللهم تقبل الشهداء والموتى يا أكرم الأكرمين، اللهم عليك بأعدائهم أعداء الدين يا أرحم الراحمين، وصلى اللهم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم إنا نسألك عيشا هنيا وموتا سويا ومردا غير مخزن ولا فاضح يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا رب العالمين. وأقم الصلاة.